That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 167 of That Great Business Show, home of great business tips, insights, and opportunities on every episode delivered in our commute-friendly package. And all thanks to DAF.ie, Ireland's number one property website. If you're looking for your first home or looking to upsize or downsize, make sure you visit DAF.ie to find that next place you call home. I'm Conal O'Mora in Foltister. We have two fabulous female founders on this episode, one on the beat in Offaly and another we recorded in New York as part of our Beachhead USA mini-series. That's our ultimate crib sheet to those setting up businesses in the US. And on this episode, you're going to learn all about the New York Minute. It's the all-American way of doing business, and you can apply all of it to your business in Ireland or wherever you're listening to us from. To start with, let's have a listen to Marianne Pierce, known to friends as Fierce Pierce, who we recorded in New York. She wants you to pay it forward, not waste time. And remember, the shelf life of a favour is 6 months.
If it's for sale, it's on daf.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Whether you're looking for your first home or planning your next move, make sure you're on daft.ie, the best place to buy or sell in Ireland.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
Bolt the doors, shutter the windows, tie down the cat. Because we have a true tour de force coming your way. We continue with our mini-series we call Beachhead USA, aimed at teaching scaling businesses thinking of heading to the US what we will call the American way. Mary Ann Pierce is a huge supporter of That Great Business Show since we started. Her business is New York-based MAP Digital, or MAP Digital, a global events agency. And she also has the rather grand title of Global Ambassador for our other great friends at Awaken Hub. That's the organization that encourages women entrepreneurs. We had a brief chat, and I say that very deliberately, with Marianne, and she told us about the New York Minute. We had to let you listen into that conversation. It will, I hope, make you smile, but also teach you not to waste time, yours or anyone you're trying to do business with in USA. Marianne Pierce, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Well, thank you so much, Conal. Welcome to New York. And that was some introduction.
But I left out the bit that I'm not allowed to say, which is what else you are known as. Fierce Pierce?
Oh, of course you had to do that. Yes, that is my nickname in Dublin. So I wear it proud. There's no reason to resist it because, you know, once you get an Irish nickname, until you do something even more insane or daft, then you get a new name. So I just have to wear it proudly. But yes, I am Fierce Pierce.
Now, which would you prefer to talk about? First of all, your own business, because you have to, since you've been kind enough to come into us and talk about that, or your New York Minute?
Oh, I think it's, just to get it over with. I mean, my background is I do financial services conferences. We've been doing webcasting since the middle 90s. So I work with all the banks because I can just swing a cat around my head and I'm hitting a bank on Park Avenue or over on Wall Street. And that made our business global. I'm always over in London, EMEA, as we call it, or Paris, and also in Latin America. We have a show in Brazil right now. And so that's where I got to be more centered in Dublin because I have friends and family there. And also it was really great to you go through customs and immigrations in Dublin. So I always make Dublin a stop. And that's how I got affiliated with the IABN, where I know you from. And then Digital Irish, which I served for 6 years here. We provide a soft landing for Irish companies. And then I was tapped by Mary McKenna. And anyone who knows Mary McKenna, when you're tapped, you're tapped to become the global ambassador for the Awaken Hub because of my travels and where my business takes me.
It's a real American phrase to say you were tapped.
That's a polite term. It's almost a mafia term. You've been tapped. There's no question here. There's a horse head in your bed. You know, you must do it.
And on your own business, it is, as you say, global. And you've been at it for?
Oh, I've just celebrated 20 years as MAP Digital, but I've been doing it for, I think, this healthcare conference that I do for a major bank. It's my 28th year of doing it.
Brilliant.
So I'm not a startup. I love being called a startup because that makes me young, but I am not a startup.
I hope I didn't call you a startup.
No, but most people say, oh, you're a startup. And I go, oh, that's so nice. It's like saying, young lady, I'll answer to that.
The New York Minute. Discuss.
Well, I think just to kind of give a little context, New York is the island of commerce. We were founded by the Dutch, and it's all about the guilders, the do-re-mi. They didn't want to have a government. They just wanted to have trading, you know, the sugar cane into sugar and then taking the oysters back to Holland and all that other goods. So here, about your currency. So in paying it forward to make business and currency and time, don't waste our time. However, that being said, I think not to scare people that New Yorkers are harsh. We want you to succeed. We want you to be in business. We want that success, underdog success. We want to brag. I got her first job. And now, you know, she's, you know, this to us is, it floats the boats for all. It's all about ebb and flow of commerce.
And I do think, and again, you are so familiar with Ireland. I think that Irish people find that challenging, that idea.
I guess they do because Ireland wasn't a commercial capital. They weren't part of the great capitalist, you know, industrial revolution, maybe just the North in Belfast. So you come over here and this is about the New York Minute, you know, hello, what do you want? Who are you, first of all? What do you want? How is it going to serve me? And be very specific on what you want, because then I'll think of one or two phone calls I can make and I'll give you that. But if you make me work too hard, I'm like, next, you know,
because there are many people to choose from.
Well, it's also many people to choose from. But I think what I want someone, when this happens many times, especially with Digital Irish for the 6 years, we provided the soft landing for the tech companies that came over, but also the J-1 visa students that came over. And, you know, we've just had Digital Irish just did a startup week, which was absolutely stellar. Last week. And of course, all the J1ers come running up to you and they go, I go, well, who are you? That's your name. They'll tell you the county, which is fun. That's about it. Okay. No more jokes. I don't want to know about, you know, if I'm related to you. We'll talk about that later. Sometimes I am, but sometimes I'm not. But I think what it is that I'll say to them, so what are you looking for? And they'll say something, well, I want a job in digital marketing. And I'm like, oh, please, you're making me do the work. Digital marketing is like too vast of a field.
So what should they have been asking for?
Well, basically, you can say, hi, just graduated from TCD. I studied the advent of TikTok. Be as specific as possible. I'm really looking to have a job in the media industry, preferably in fashion. The more specific you get, it makes the AI in my brain start burning its synapses. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to get half of where you should be placed. So you're storytelling. So I can sit there and go, all right, fine. I want to help this person. I want to move on. I have 15 seconds left with this person. I want to welcome them, but I don't have that much time.
And this is a curiosity there. I'm learning as we go through what are, I think, 13 or 14 of these interviews, the specificity to be so specific.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing because there's so much to choose from. That is a good thing. And also, it's not rude. You're not trying to be rude or abrupt. Sorry, abrupt you may be, but it's not a rude abrupt.
No, we don't think abrupt is when you're mean, you know, but I think being very clear is purposeful. I admire that. There's no sense of false modesty. I mean, if you graduated top of your class in TCD, well done. Okay, I appreciate that. And if you're looking like, I really want to work, you know, at Cornell Weill. Oh, great. That gives me an anchor in which to help you. I want to get you on your way. You know, that to me is also currency. Maybe when I call my colleague over at Cornell saying, got this bright thing, I think you really should. And that's a chit back and forth. That's a favor, you know, and the shelf life of favors are 6 months. Remember that. And
say that again.
The shelf life of favors are 6 months. So if you do.
Right.
Oh, that's how I think it is. If you do a favor, sometimes I would just call people up and ask for a favor to see if they reciprocate. And if they didn't, they went out of my favorite card. There you go.
I love it. Keep going.
Keep going.
Talk to me about this. while I was here, I got one business card. Is a business card a thing of the distant past?
I think it is, you know, because even globally, I found every time I work in EMEA, which is, you know, Europe, essentially, it should be Middle East and Africa, but it's usually just Europe. They don't want any printing. Everything is digital. This pandemic has pushed us over the edge into the cloud. The young people don't have it. They don't want it.
When I approach you and I'm trying to leave you with my credentials, do I say LinkedIn or?
Yeah, LinkedIn is the best one. And LinkedIn has a way that you can go to your name and there's a barcode. It can be a little like fussy sometimes and it can be very embarrassing. I would just suggest that you take your barcode of your LinkedIn page and put it on your homepage of your phone or put it someplace where you have that barcode.
Tip of the week, month, or maybe the year.
Or just have the barcode. Purse or wallet and just say, click me here.
But why not have it on your phone?
Have it on your phone. Everything's done by the phone now. There's no atoms.
But except the person who did give me the business card, wherever I put it, I went, oh, I'll remember him. And it was him. Somewhere when I dig it out, I'll say, oh, better give him a call. Anyway, back to the minute, because what you also told me is you do not want to know about my granny.
About my granny? I don't, what does that mean?
Well, that you say, I don't really care who your relatives are.
Oh, no, I do. That's the crack of it once we get past the business, you know.
No, but on introduction.
Oh, introductions. Okay. Yeah, no.
Are you the Pierces of Wexford, for example?
Yeah, no, actually from Fermoy, Cork. There you go. But I think it's a question many times, and we were together at the IIBN in the 2014, was this global conference, and the real difference between the Americans and the Irish were being introduced, and they had to tell a joke. And you just wasted your 6.5 seconds to make an impression. And I just was like pushing people, like, stop with the jokes. Just, you know, be pleasant.
I prefer the jokes.
Do you really?
It's like a wedding. It's the actual speeches that I love more than anything else.
Well, yeah. But there's a very short time when you're in that cluster of a cocktail party. You know, not to be mean. Listen, New Yorkers are funny. We love a dry sense of humor. You know, the darker, the better. You know,
it was invented here.
Yeah. We're just, as I like to say, a city without pity sometimes. It, you know, you have to be a rare breed to live here. But I think it's basically get to your point. Be personable. Be who you are. But I want to pay you forward. I want to see how I can get you into the slipstream of the city and have you, if you are right for it, stay and be part. Maybe I'll do business with you later on. Or maybe I'll need a favor, or maybe you'll be deciding on a grant, or maybe one of my Awaken Hub companies are going to be asking you to fund them. So this is the level of networking that's so important. Networking is what you do every day, every minute of the day, is that you're constantly giving and receiving and paying it forward. At least that's what I do in my business.
And I noted that you came here for a 10 o'clock interview at 9:58, because that is vitally important in New York.
Actually, I was earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt you. We have a saying, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late.
Okay, you know. So be there in time. Otherwise, how's it taken?
Well, I think the question is that I think if you're going to see someone, you should put them first, not you. Like, I was late getting up, or the subways were kind of squirrely this morning, but I anticipate for that. I think that I wanted to come here relaxed, really ready and present to start this interview with you. I wanted to respect you, and I wanted to respect myself and have a great experience.
I feel hugely respected.
Yeah, you are.
What else could people do in particularly scaling businesses, know nobody, land here, and might go down and base themselves, whether it's up in Connecticut with some of our friends there, or Tony Dunn here in New York, and you're based here, but you know nobody.
Well, you have to start knowing somebody. You have to do your homework before you come over. I mean, if you just think that being Irish, you might get the first interview because of it. Because everyone, I mean, Ireland as a brand has the most stellar brand. I mean, you haven't waged war on any other country. It's a beautiful place. You have great music. We're known to have very bright, forward-thinking people, both socially and in deep tech space. So there's nothing not to like about Ireland. And most of us have some Irish in us. And if we don't, we wish we did. I mean, it's just a good brand. So you'll get the first meeting maybe, but you really need to find yourself some sort of interconnectivity. Go on LinkedIn. If you want to be in Cornell, go start searching who at Cornell, who do you want to know? Who is in the network that perhaps go to your professors back at TCD or wherever. It's really hard when you come here and heartbreaking, especially when the J-1ers come over and they know no one. And they usually, we get these calls like, I'm going to be deported in 2 weeks if I don't have a job. So I think it's really start your networking 6 months before you come over and go to the associations. I mean, Digital Irish, IIBN, which is more in London at this point, but there are all meetups and things, make yourself really present and ask. If you know, you have to know somebody in New York. So ask somebody. You never know whose cousin is somebody. You know?
Which proves my point about telling people.
Oh, yeah, the relatives are.
So, tell me about the follow up. I'm told the follow up can't be quick enough. So if you say ring me or whatever, like it's almost ring me as I'm walking out the door type of thing, is it?
Yeah, it's really important here because, you know, it's about, I said, time is currency. So if I give you an interview, an informational interview, I expect a thank you note the next day. If I don't.
How interesting. A thank you note. Brief. Email.
Email. Yeah. Email, even back on LinkedIn. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I will follow up. And if something does happen by an introduction, please let me know. I really want to know.
And do they really want to know?
Yes, you do really want to know. Because I've opened up my network to you. That's my currency. And that's a trust.
So if you introduce me to the Acme Corporation and I land a contract with them, I should go immediately back and say, hi, I'm Marianne. We landed a big contract. Thank you so much. That type of thing. Simple as?
As simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's called respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else should I be respecting in the big city?
I think you need to be, first of all, just to go back being on time, be prepared. If you're coming into a meeting, do your homework. Look at the website. Do some research. I can't tell you how many times people have come to see me and they go, well, what do you do? I go, you could have looked at my website. You know, really, how much am I going to invest in you right now? I don't have time to give you, you know, I started out, you know, in this and all of those good things. So do your homework, be prepared, have an ask. What do you want? Always have an ask, even if it's just basically, do you know someone over at Cornell? I mean, always have an ask. We like that. That's a transaction.
And it's not seen as rude.
No, it's seen as that you are somebody that is purposeful. It's on your, that you are, you mean business. If you're like wishy-washy, well, I'm not quite sure what I want to do and being very vague, I have no time for you because you're not really prepared to do business. In my mind, okay? Maybe it's a little harsh, but I work in financial services, so things move very quickly. I think that also it's to be prepared and also maybe even say to your interviewer, how can I help you? It's just a really lovely thing to do.
And that's not cheeky.
It's not cheeky at all.
Okay.
Not cheeky at all.
How can I help you?
It's just very sweet. It's in some ways, it's that's where I say, well, that's very nice of you. And that's when I start to end the conversation.
I feel more inclined to say, you need some help.
Yeah, I want to know where you got that dress. Thank you so much. But I think it's also, and then follow up. And also, if someone says to you, please go and contact this person, I've gone and talked to that person. Or I'll say, let me get back to you and make the introduction. And if you wait a week or so to do it.
That seems to be a key. Just do it and do it now.
Just do it. It's time and it's serendipity. It's very interesting. Just if I a brief story we did with the Digital Irish, the startup week, and one of our Awaken Hub companies, Naomi McGregor from Move Through, was over because, you know, and she actually, we had an event in February and she got funding from the St. Bridget's Day event that Awaken Hub did. So she was seeing her investors in Philadelphia, came up for Digital Irish. There was a young J-1er. She goes up to me and she pushes her in my arms as if they've been great friends. They just met each other, which I found out later. And so I said to her, what do you want to do? And she says, well, I'm in biochemistry. I'm like, oh God, please give me something more specific. I said, I will come into my office. I'll give you 15 minutes and you better give me something more specific about where you want to work in this big city. She did. I happened to be at a major fund that had a bio laboratory. I was talking about Awaken Hub and our companies. And I said, oh, by the way, do you hire interns for lab? Oh, yes, we do. Resume in, boom, boom, boom. New York minute. She's on her way.
Fantastic. The working day here, is it as long as I am being led to believe it is? Or people can only work so many hours in a day. Is it, do people here work 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.?
Oh, I don't know. It depends on where you are in your career. I think that the pandemic made it more fluid. I know that I'm starting much earlier because we have so much work in Europe. So I'm usually at my desk by 6:30.
But do you quit earlier?
I do, because I think we've all also realized that the quality of life and mental health, you do burn out. We are not machines, mm-hmm. you know. And why live in this great city if I just work from dark to dark, you know? I think also I have to give a lot of credit to the younger generation. They don't want it. They want to do their job, but their social life, their place are really important in setting a bar higher about quality of life. And I say hats off to them.
What are, if any, little tips about, because you mentioned socializing there. If I'm back in the old days when I was stockbroking, we invited everybody to everything. Is it improper to invite people to events, people that you might not even know very well? What's the social aspect of that? You know, who is this weirdo inviting me to go to drinks to watch a match or something? Would that be improper?
Well, I think it's a very interesting question. It depends on what your objective is for that event, like for you to generate business. I think it's really important. Any good host should know who's coming, and basically, your job is to facilitate a conversation. Like,
but in the initial ask, I meet Marianne Pierce. I know that she could open doors for me. And I say, Marianne, we're having drinks down in Hearn's Bar. Would you like to join us? Is that okay?
I think it's okay. I think, first of all, if you don't ask, you don't know. I mean, it's a question. They can only say two things, yes or no.
The other one.
Well, no's fine too, but at least you've made an impression on them. Maybe the next time you ask, they'll say yes. You're not quite sure.
I was thinking of a rude word, which reminds me of rude words, bad language. Huge no-no.
Over here?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I explained.
Well,
this
it's very,
is very important. We think, you know, F this, F that, and Asha was walking down the effing street and blah, blah, blah.
It depends on where you are. In banking, where I am in financial services, I mean, that would just never fly.
That's like the door stuff, isn't it?
Well, the door stuff, but I also have a theater background, and F is a noun, an adjective, a verb.
Of course
it's it is. How the weather, you know. And also when I worked in advertising, it was... bombs away. But there's client behavior, and then there's when the client with clients on the floor, and then there's also, you know, what you do with your colleagues. But I think it's very difficult because I do have that theater background, and I do have to check myself sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you're better off not to offend people.
Zip it.
It'd be different if you know the person and you're in a safe space for that. You don't want, well, it just depends on the context, you know.
Anything really, really quirky to end on, of something that people just don't think about?
I think you need to be here. People who come over, it's like any location. If I was going to do business in Mexico City, no one would even talk to me about business until I've like gone to meet the family and had dinner. You just don't come over here and ask and think that Americans are going to open up their Rolodex and, you know, bring you and Mother McCree over because we're related somehow. You need to be here. You need to be part of the society. We need to see you. We need to see that you are part of the give and take. And, you know, you need to pay it forward also. It's not just gimme, gimme. Gimme. And also, you need to also, if you're having people and you're asking to do things, you need to be able to compensate them. Sometimes they come over and thinking, I'm going to open my Rolodex for nothing. I'll give you one phone call. I'll give you one introduction. After that, if it's we're going to have a relationship, then we need to have a relationship. You know, I don't have the time.
And you have to
be here.
And to pay it back, as you said.
Pay it forward, pay it back. I think this is all about, you know, it's all about transaction. If you think about New York as a transaction, we want you to succeed. This is the land, New York is the land of immigrants. This city thrives on new people coming in. So welcome to the Big Apple. Come here to have a transaction, to build and grow, and just be quick about it.
That's a lovely way on which to end. Because you may or may not have seen a note to say that we ask every guest one final question. Who would Marianne Pierce hire in a heartbeat for your team? Somebody that you just admire so much that you'd like them on your team. They may be dead. They may not be born. They may be somewhere in the ether. And you can have your choice. You don't have to even stick with one.
Oh, it's very interesting. What I like is, I don't know if it's a person, but I think what I would like to say is all homage to Chuck Feeney, who just passed away.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. And I'm just getting a little, as they say, geflimt in the Yiddish here. There's a person who comes from a working class background and really excelled in business, you know, and built an industry that wasn't there, and then gave it all away, and gave it away in such a purposeful way. And when I saw, I've had the pleasure of meeting him once, and I did meet Warren Buffett once too. And when I saw on them, these are people who are simple people, profoundly brilliant, and profoundly empathetic. And I really like people who come from a working class background, who had to strive, but also had other avocations. They like music or they like other things. So it's not just the genius. It's the person who does and then has the empathy. That I can teach anybody how to webcast or configure a router, but I can't teach the empathy.
If only we could. Marianne Pierce, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you so much.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Are you buying or selling a home? If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Right, here is your starter for 10. What is the similarity between a healthy bottle of beetroot juice and a not-so-healthy can of cola? The answer is, of course, they both attract 23% VAT. That VAT on what is essentially a food product drives my next guest nuts. From her family farm in Offaly, Anne-Marie Feary has been making beetroot juice for the last 4 years. She managed to persuade her Teagasc advisor that she wasn't completely mad, and she got him to back her passion project. She collected her innovation voucher from Enterprise Ireland to help differentiate her product, and she's now stocked in over 80 SuperValu stores and others as well. And she's completed an Acorns program for rural female entrepreneurs. So she's not very busy, really, Anne-Marie Feary. Welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much, Conal, for having me on.
You're very, very welcome. A passion project, which is came from what? I know there's a family farm, but you were in associated with the bloodstock industry before this took over your life.
Correct. Yes, true. Well, growing up on the family farm, I've, you know, always had an interest in, I suppose, my dad, my brothers, they operate a tillage and vegetable farm in County Offaly. And so growing up on the farm, you were always rode in to help. And I've always had an interest in food and, I suppose, a healthy lifestyle. So that incorporates, I suppose, everything in my passions. And with that, then the product is very much in line with that. But I suppose developing this product, or how the product came about, all kudos goes to my dad for that. Dad would have a very keen interest in all things health related. So he would be the one that'd be reading up, you know, the health food books, the Patrick Holford books. And I suppose trying to be healthy with regard to what food you eat without the need for medication. And I mean, he's not saying no to medication, but equally, if you can look to your food first.
But you could have chosen carrots, lettuce, you could have chosen spuds, white beetroot.
So he had come across various articles related to taking beetroot juice and bringing down high blood pressure naturally. And so I suppose I always had the job of picking him up his supplements in the health food store. And so beetroot juice was very new to the list. And I had forgotten, and he had reminded me, did I ever come across it? And as I said, I'd have a strong interest in food. And I was surprised myself that I hadn't come across, you know, was never on my radar before. And so I thought the first place I would look would be in a health food store. And then I'd be always drawn to buying an Irish product. And when I went to pick one up, I discovered very quickly that there was no Irish beet juice available.
German and UK, if I remember.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. So I ended up buying one of the bottles, brought it home, and then it all went from there. I was very interested in tasting the product because of maybe the work that I put in to try, and I'd moved around to a few different shops to pick it up. And then I was interested when I brought it home to taste it. And I think there was a few of us home that day, and it sparked a bit of interest and a bit of chat at the table. And it was like, well, why is there nobody here in Ireland doing this? And at the time, my dad, they would grow a variety of vegetables, obviously potatoes, carrots being that type of veg being the, you know, the dominant ones, beetroot in a very small scale. It posed the question. I was curious, I suppose, more than anything else. And the first point of contact was Chagaskin for Moy.
Who sent you there?
Again, that conversation was generated at the table that day. It was like, oh, well, you know, who would be the person that you would get in contact to ask this type of question? And again, probably my dad came up with the answer to that too. And so that Monday I actually Googled it, and I had found the name of a person called Eddie O'Neill. He was the artisan food specialist. And like that, you never think you're going to get talking to the person that you're looking for. And it was my luck that day. He was in his office. He took the call, and he had a slot that had become free that week. He said, look, if you're free Thursday, call down, we'll chat it through. So I took, I think, a half day from work or whatever, scooted it down. And I actually took notes that day at the meeting, and I read back through them lately, and it was interesting because I think when I mentioned to him first, Eddie would have worked a lot with cheeses and various different products. He's developed many products over the years, but this was definitely new to him, and I could see the surprise on his face. And
it was more than that because he thought that you were daft. Would that be fair?
But I had him convinced by the end of our 30 minutes or whatever it was that there was something in it. I think what I had discovered, even over the maybe like Monday, was like I was going down to visit him. So I was kind of looking up a bit more detail in the days leading up to that. Like I'd walked into the different supermarkets afterwards, and it was in Dunn Stores, it was in Super Value, they were selling it in Tesco, all on the drinks aisle. I had passed those aisles many times and I had never seen it. Again, it was all the imported brands. So I was thinking, not all these shops will stock a product if it doesn't sell. So somebody's buying it, and like it can't all be people who want to take down their blood pressure.
Now, I love your thinking there, that because they are selling it, there must be demand. The other way of looking at it, if you were to think of it negatively, you say, listen, there's no chance I can get onto the shelf here because there are already so many stocked.
Well, two answers to that. I suppose first, if you start out with your own business, I think you have to be positive minded to begin with, and maybe always look at the positive slant. But equally, there is a push for Irish brands, and it's very obvious when you see that there was no Irish. And I think, and even from experience now, that talking with any managers, if you want to ask, you know, approach them to stock your product, once you come in with that angle, like we are the only Irish company doing this, I would say the strike rate has been in the high 90s.
For, that's very good.
Yeah, it's been like, again, it has to sell because, I mean, most people will give you a chance. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't sell, you know, they can't expect them to keep stocking your product.
And you did, and I should have mentioned this at the beginning, you did have a background in science, but nothing to do with either growing beetroot or, except your dad was there, sure. And then to go into the processing or the production of a juice. You had no idea.
No, that's it. And it's a huge learning curve. I mean, the idea is one thing, and then the product development is another. So I suppose it's bringing in a team of experts into everything. So with Eddie O'Neill and Chagask, we did a lot of product development, came up with a recipe that we thought would be, you know, suitable to a wider audience by introducing some apple in it. So the ingredients were 70% homegrown beetroot, pesticide-free, and then blended with 30% apples, again, Irish apples from Tipperary. So that was the recipe taken care of.
And why the apples? Now, I did read this. It takes away that kind of earthy taste, is it? And it also puts a natural sweetness into it, is it?
Yeah, for a couple of reasons again, actually. First of all, beetroot is an earthy-flavoured vegetable. So that wouldn't appeal to everyone. Yeah, I think Peter's a bit like Marmite. You either love it or you hate it.
I'm a lover.
Yeah. Well, actually, strangely enough, even some people that say, oh, look, I don't, no disrespect, I wouldn't like your juice. I don't like beetroot. They try it and they actually enjoy it. So I would say to the people listening, you don't even actually need to like beetroot to be surprised that you'll actually drink the juice. But so the beetroot, the apple was introduced, I suppose, to open up to a wider audience that it could be a family juice. You know, it would take down the complete earthiness out of it and, you know, also lower the pH as well, that the apples would have a lower pH than the beetroot. So again, better for shelf life. And
you got a year long shelf life before it correctly.
Actually, a year and a half.
Oh, that's very good.
I originally proved it for a year, but I could see that the competitors had 2 years on there. So I just had it tested over another 6 months.
And yeah. That is so important. And you can explain to us why.
Yeah, well, first of all, like your production is happening over the course of 6 months more than 5 to 6 months is kind of the bottling juicing phase. So your beetroot, you know, we could harvest it anytime from normally August right up until Christmas. And it's a very safe veg in that it's very reliable in that you can leave it in the ground and it's safe there once it doesn't get a severe frost or whatever. So we'd really want to have it out of the ground before, you know, the end of the year, say. But as we harvest it in August, around that time, the apples are in season as well. So it's perfect for that. It's very suitable. And yeah, so we press it over the course of 6 months. So then you have most of your stock made for the following 12 months or whatever. And it is important to have that shelf life because, you know, if you're supplying distributors, they might order in X amount, you know, like a higher volume of boxes. And then, you know, at that point, it could be made for 5 months at that point. And then it sits in their warehouse and then they have to wait for the orders to come in. And then if, say, a smaller shop with a smaller footfall of people who wouldn't have a huge customer base for the beetroot juice, they could order in a case and it could, you know, it's not going to sell within, you know, the first few weeks. So while initially it seems a very generous shelf life, by the time it moves from us to the distributor, to the shop, and then to the customer's home place, or it's a nice security there that, and there's going to be no waste product or product going out of date.
And you're now, because you've been at this for about 4 years, you're a seasoned professional in this industry. What were the big learnings that you had to get through? You know, you wouldn't have known anything, I presume, about pressing, distribution, marketing, any of the above. Discuss.
Yeah, I suppose you're just looking towards others and what they're doing and trying to pick up tips and approaching people and asking for advice. Learning curves, I suppose, for me, there was a bit of urgency in trying to get the bottle ready because when I had first had the discussions with Moor Park, it was in the late summer and we obviously needed beetroot to do the trials with. So I remember saying to my dad, is it too late to sow it? And he was like, well, it is really pushed out, but look, I'll sow X amount. And if it grows, it does, you'll have something to work with. And if it doesn't, you'll have to wait until next year.
Which is a bit of a problem, you know, waiting around for a year, waiting for the product to come out again. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't relying on it. So that was a good thing. But anyway, it took off and it started growing. And then with that, then comes the pressure because it needs to be harvested. So that like revs up the level that you're having to work out. Okay, we had the recipe devised, that work was done, but then there's a label and to come up with a brand and a brand name and all that goes with that. And with the label, there is a lot involved in that. This certain wording that you have to be very careful about.
What do you have to avoid or what are you allowed to put on?
It just, you know, you might have so many health benefits that you've read that the research is there.
But you can't make a claim, isn't that
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's very much the wording, the maintenance of normal blood pressure levels as opposed to, you know, what else that you
decreasing
might choose
or
to.
Whatever.
Yeah, and it's only something simple, but like if you get it wrong, you know, you don't want to get it wrong, put it like that. And then with that, the nutritional analysis. So you have to, like, where do you go to, you know, what do you need to get tested on? What needs to go on the label for your nutritional information and all the rest that goes with that?
So, where did you get it tested? In Ireland or abroad?
In Ireland, there's lots of companies that, so ALT Labs there in Kildare, you know.
And you see, if I asked you that 4 years ago, you would never even have heard of them, would you?
Exactly. And I suppose that's where the benefit lies in kind of, you know, I took part in the Food Academy course.
Was that good?
It was excellent. And while I was, you know, in the stages of like that, say I had the product ready for retail February 2019, and I start working on it in 2018 towards the end of that summer. So over the course of 8-9 months, I had approached the Food Academy about, you know, starting their course, and I got accepted just at the right time. So while I had a lot of the work done when I started the course, it was really good timing, the fact that before I got the label printed, they were going through that area. So I was just kind of proofing my work, so to speak. And then with that, James Burke was a food and business advisor with the Food Academy, that we had the luck of having his mentoring, and it was invaluable. So he's actually a very valuable number for me to have on my phone now, because if there's often a question, I'll be like, who would have the answer for that? Be like,
James
might
Burke.
Just send a little email to James and he'll come back to you straight away. He's excellent. But with him then, you, and the different, I suppose, advisors they had going through the program with us, even around your finances and setting up an accounts package and all, you know, the simple things, well, they look back, they're never that simple, but at the start, you're just like a bit of a rabbit in the headlights. There's so much new stuff coming at you, but you're learning as you go. And I mean, you're not going to get everything right.
What did you get wrong? Tell me one thing that you got wrong.
Off the top of my head.
Well, one thing that you told me, which is really interesting, was it wasn't that you got it wrong, but you got it more right now, if you want to put it that way. The size of the bottle. You are now selling a larger bottle, isn't that right?
Yeah, I suppose at the start, I just wanted an entry-level bottle. So it was 250ml size. And I felt, just testing the water, that if people have never tried it before, they don't have a big outlay or a big spend to, you know, it was a smaller size. And that was actually a bit of a surprise as well, because we were doing the initial press on a small press for the trials. And then when we, you know, went to the day of manufacturing, obviously the big commercial press was getting a lot more juice out of the bottles. And so I suppose it was a little bit, you know, it brought down X amount to get pressed. And I got a call from the contractor saying that, Amory, this could potentially end up juicing of like, say, 9,000, 10,000 bottles. Are you okay to go ahead with this? And so I was thinking, I've got to this point, and there was a big rush to get as far as this with the beetroot ready to be harvested, to get the bottle. I had the label ready, but I had no customers. So I thought,
you could be looking at 9,000 bottles for a while, all right?
I was like, that's a lot of pallets there. Just but so anyway, I decided I would go ahead with it. And again, there is nothing like that to push you forward then, because there's no time to relax. You know, you think you can take a breath when you had the product ready, it was in its bottle, everything looked right. You're happy to get to that stage, but then the foot's on the gas straight away.
When did you find out about the VAT rate? 23%. You are a food. I mean, it's VAT, yeah. And I have a fraught relationship, because VAT can be very, very strange.
It is. It's very frustrating, because when you consider like beetroot itself is 0%, then you press it and you put it into a bottle and suddenly it's 23%. And
Which is a big fat markup on, you know, trying to make a living, isn't it?
Well, it makes it more expensive for the customer.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If a customer goes into a shop and first of all, they might look at the bottle and say, how is that 650? Why does it need to be that price? Because there's so many things you need to factor in to come up with that price to begin with. If you took off the VAT, suddenly it'd be back down to 5. First of all, I'd sell a lot more product, because it would be more affordable for people, and equally people would be easier for them to make the healthier choice. But no, I've spent a bit of time trying to follow up this to see, was there any way around it? Or even I would have figured, if you were a small SME, that like maybe there could be a little bit of a compensation there until you scale your business and then factor it back in some capacity. And
you're
maybe
dealing with the Department of Finance and they don't care.
Well, I feel for now I'm fighting a losing battle, and
it is daft,
yeah.
And it's wrong, and it's also, because you forgot to mention this part, is if you take it off, it's actually making people healthier, or we'll say we can maybe make them healthier. We're not, let's say, definitely make them healthier, isn't that right?
Well, it is a healthy product. It's
yes,
completely
better
healthy
than cola.
It's just get your beetroot, press it, you're getting, you're drinking your superfood. And beetroot is one of the healthiest veg that you can juice, and it is our Irish superfood. So I mean, I know there's all these foods labeled as superfoods, but most of them are ones that we bring in from God knows where, South America and all the rest. So we have our Irish superfood here. You can juice it, And it does taste great.
Spoken by a true producer. One of the things that I think I read about you is that you're not thinking of going abroad yet. Is that it?
No, not right now. As in, I feel like I really want to concentrate on the Irish market. I feel like there's a lot more work to be done. And
are you 32 county at the moment?
Yeah, but I suppose some more densely stocked than others. And I really want to build that out. I want to build out the number of stockists. I want the brand to become more familiar with people. I want, I suppose, the Irish consumer to be more aware that there is an Irish beetroot juice.
And what you have to start doing without ever failing at doing it is mention the brand, mention the brand, mention the brand, mention the brand. Your brand is?
Fury's Farm beetroot juice, yes.
And therefore, from now on, you just have to say Fury's Farm beetroot juice, etc. You also, in terms of, because I've learned this about the academy, when you've gone through and when you're being distributed by SuperValue, does it get more awkward the larger you get because your distribution costs go up? Am I right?
Well, for me at the moment, I am working with a couple of different distributors. So for the independent shops, you know, you're dealing with the likes of Taste of You, Independent Irish Health Foods, Whole Foods, and that's fine. If you're a health food store in Kerry, you can order directly through them. With the SuperValues, initially when you start the programme, they would encourage you to deliver into the shop yourself. I mean, and you're only placed in 6 stores, so that's easy to maintain.
Yeah.
And they're always local to where you're based. But during COVID, I ramped up the SuperValues fairly promptly because some of my other stores that I was stocked in were closing or they had restricted access, and I had pressed
a lot.
Yes, a lot of juice because the first year was good. This was my second year and I was feeling ambitious. And so I increased stock, but then the shops start shutting down. So I approached more SuperValues and I could see that this was working well for me because, you know, sales were good. They were in, you know, like areas like Cork and Dublin. And then at that point, I was still trying to maintain the deliveries myself. So I knew that the idea of increasing my SuperValues was the way to go, but I couldn't maintain the deliveries. So with that, I was able to find a very good distributor for SuperValues in Dublin, kind of Kildare, Wicklow, all that area, Meath, and another distributor in the west of Ireland that went from actually anywhere from Limerick right up Sligo, Galway, Donegal. But Cork is actually a difficult area in Munster. And
very big.
Yeah, and I suppose really good potential. Like there's a lot of excellent stores in Cork, but it's hard to find a distributor. So if anyone's listening out there
that's what we'll do for you. We'll see whether we can find somebody.
To take a product like mine, I would love to hear from them.
Is the work, is the job, is the ownership of the company more difficult than you ever imagined?
I would say it's a very busy lifestyle. You have to...
How busy are you? What time do you get up?
My alarm goes off at 5, but I'm a morning person, so I like to get up.
What time do you hit the hay?
10-ish normally, yeah. Depending. Sometimes I do try to shut down at the end of the day and I turn off the phone and go
Which
for a run.
Which is what time?
Okay, when I say shut down, it depends. I would like the laptop closed over definitely by 6. Sometimes things come in on your phone, I will answer them quickly or whatever, but I will try and put the phone on airplane mode.
So we're talking about 12, 13 hour days?
Yeah, and to be honest, more sometimes if that's the way the day unfolds.
Yeah.
And equally, that's the freedom, I suppose, of having your own business. You could work excessive hours over the period of a couple of days, but if you need to pare back and you need the day back to yourself, you can work your own day. And I love that about doing your own thing and having your own business. And the work, if you've got to work, good work ethic, normally you can see the reward for it. So if you're not afraid to work, it's the way to go to have your own business.
Our last question to all our guests is, who would Anne-Marie Fury hire in a heartbeat?
I think the answer to that one have to be Bobby Kerr.
Would you?
Yeah, big fan of Bobby Kerr. I love listening to his Down to Business show.
Yeah.
I liked him as a dragon on Dragon's Den and... He's very strong on SMEs and he's a great interest in it. And the fact that he's been in the business and in the food business for...
What would he deliver for you?
Well, I wonder, could I take an hour of his time there at some point?
And I would say that it's a strong possibility. We'll see whether we can connect with Bobby and put him in contact with you.
That would be fabulous.
Oh, it's been, that's what we tried to do on That Great Business Show. Anne-Marie Feary, better spell out your name, because if anybody goes off to see the or find the product, first of all, they'll find it in Supervalue and where else?
Various independent health food stores like Nourish and Evergreen and the independents, also like quality food stores like Arkeen, Nolan's, Clontarf, Avoca. So yeah, a lot of the stockers would be listed on my website, which is www.fearysfarm.ie.
And Feary is F-E-I-G-H-E-R-Y.
Yep, fearysfarm.ie.
I read that. I just made it up.
That's correct. You've got it on point.
Anne-Marie Feary, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Whether you're looking for your first home or planning your next move, make sure you're on daft.ie, the best place to buy or sell in Ireland.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That Great Business Show.
And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 167. Great business insights and inspiration, all thanks to our lovely sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. If you're looking for your first home, or maybe you're looking to upsize or downsize, make sure you visit daft.ie to find the next place you call home. Sign up for email updates and we'll send you your own personal copy of the podcast at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. Share, like and give us 5-star reviews. It all helps. Advertise with us at That Great Business Show to engage with our incredible audience of entrepreneurs, businesses and investors. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where today's studio engineer is Alison O'Dwyer, and later the dynamic duo of studio manager Peter Rice and post-production engineer Neil Horner ensure we remain the world's best-sounding business podcast. So, from me, Conal O'Moran, buíochas to you all, agus slán tamall.